Well, the stolen generations of Indigenous Australia have always been given the short straw when it comes to how they've been treated. A new study commissioned by the Healing Foundation has uncovered just how wide the gap is when it comes to their health, social and economic disadvantage in comparison to other Indigenous people who were not forcibly removed from their families. The Wire's Catherine Andrews spoke with Professor Steve Larkin, Chair of the Healing Foundation's board, about what his new study shows that hasn't been revealed before about the stolen generations.
What we haven't known before is two things. We didn't know how many people were still alive, and we didn't know where they were living, and we didn't know much about their needs or their characteristics.
The study has found that stolen generation members are in much poorer health than other Indigenous Australians and are more likely to have been jailed, homeless or unemployed. Why is this?
Primarily with this group, they never had the best start in life. You know, in terms of an equal playing field, they were never on the equal playing field. Institutionalised from a young age and subject to all the negative impacts that institutionalisation can bring. So, you know, not having access to a formal education, not having access to employment opportunities has meant from day one they've struggled. And what we're seeing is the consequences of that institutionalisation.
The Healing Foundation plans to use these findings from this study to draw up an action plan to present to government later this year. What will that plan include?
The plan needs to include a scaling up of services. That might mean a rethinking of how programs are designed. They need to ensure that there's a co-design principle in there with Indigenous people, particularly stolen generation members and their descendants. We might have to do things like rethink how we train our workforce, so that our workforce, whether they're working in state government programs and services or whether they're even at the community level, are trauma-informed, so that their skills and their knowledge bases are cognizant of the impact of trauma and how trauma manifests. We want to see a specific set of services designed to meet specific needs of stolen generation members. I mean, in 5 years' time, most of them, we think, will be eligible for aged care. So what does that mean in terms of the various complex needs that they have, medical, social and otherwise, in terms of providing those services that can meet those needs? And lastly, we're looking for some form of reparation. We found in this study, the majority of stolen generation members are living in jurisdictions, particularly New South Wales, WA, Queensland. And only one of those states is now working towards providing financial reparation to stolen generation members, but the other two states aren't. But even so, there are members living in all jurisdictions of Australia, and so it just doesn't seem fair that only one state's doing it and the others have to miss out who have the similar traumatic experience. And so we're saying that there needs to be some sort of national reparation scheme.
According to the report, the stolen generations have trouble accessing support services. How could this problem be solved, and what more could Australian government do better to better support the stolen generations?
Look, the very first thing we can do is, at the moment, we understand that the Commonwealth government is refreshing its Close the Gap strategy, and what we would say is that intergenerational trauma needs to be fundamental in any redesign of those priorities. So it's something that we're hearing anecdotally that's coming out from people on the ground in the various forums across the country, that they see that social emotional wellbeing and particularly intergenerational trauma needs to be at the heart of policy design. And I think the federal government needs to listen to that and then reflect that in their policies, and also the particular resource allocations or resource investment. So in the first instance, it has to be not just a nice thing to do on the periphery. It has to be at the core of policy design, as are things such as education and employment.
Could local communities help stolen generations help themselves get better access to support services?
Well, they do. They do try, but it's not exactly running awash with lots of extra resources. People are doing what they can. Quite clearly, you can only do what you can do with what you've got. But some of the work that we've done shows that some of these things can be turned around very quickly. We did some work with an Indigenous men's group in a remote community only just recently, and within an 18-month period, we're able to turn around rates of recidivism and domestic violence by 50%. So with the right program design, the right level of resources, and having local community leadership, you actually can turn what we seem to think are intractable problems, we can turn these around very quickly. So I think if community organisations that are actually working in the field were able to be resourced commensurate to need, we might see a whole lot of things happening very quickly to turn it around.
That's Professor Steve Larkin, Chair of the Healing Foundation's board, who was speaking with The Wire's Catherine Andrews.